many of the things they make. They're wonderful. I mean, I get interested in the contestants and the judges and the whole interaction. I'm quite conservative when it comes to cakes. Actually, I only eat really something with a cake in the title. So I only eat wedding cake, simnel cake, or Christmas cake, basically fruit cake. So I'm a bit of a fruit cake, if you which you may have realized. I do like Christmas cake. The trouble is that Christmas cake can get kind of lost, can't it? You've had Christmas lunch and mince pies, and then somebody says, "Would you like a slice of Christmas cake?" And you say, "Yeah, of course I would," and you grow it in with me. Christmas cake, I think, goes better after Christmas. Remember my grandmother not enjoying great health, but not eating a great deal, but she'd have a little piece of Christmas cake through January with a cup of tea in the afternoon. So I think Christmas cake goes better after Christmas. And I would say as well, and I may be controversial, kings go better after Christmas. They can get a bit lost, can't they? I've spent nearly 30 years of my ministry trying to keep kings for after Christmas, not always succeeding. One of the reasons is I quite like something to preach about after Christmas. So we come to this feast of Epiphany. The kings, the Magi, coming to Jesus. They're not just part of the Christmas scene to be absorbed and just to be passed over. They represent, I think, the other in our midst, the stranger, the unknown. In pre-modern times, all that was mysterious, all that was other, was described as oriental. We still talk about it, don't we, with the mysterious East. So it's not surprising that the wise men, the Magi, come from the East, unknown to us, yet known by God, and wanting to know God better. Outside Israel, outside the covenant, yet aware of it, impacted by it, God speaking to them about it. About that great covenant with Israel and that great new covenant, the new Israel that is being formed and made through Christ's birth. And they go seeking God just as much as God sought them. And they are of high status, aren't they? We can imagine it that they were high status. They didn't send emissaries, they didn't send ambassadors, they didn't send people out to act on their behalf. They took the risk themselves. They talked the talk and walked the walk or rode the camel. There they are, full of human status, worldly status, full of human wisdom. But they go themselves, they make the journey. And to journey in ancient times was difficult and troubling and dangerous, not just inconvenient. But something you undertook with great seriousness and great purpose. They risk the journey. And when they come to the house, and it's a house, isn't it? Not a stable. Things have moved on. Kings go better after Christmas. They come to the house and they're overjoyed. What a joy. Full of joy. The cup running over, bubbling over, full of joy. Astonishing thing, isn't it? We're British, aren't we? We do joy, but we don't do overjoy. Just keep it within bounds here. Keep a lid on it. Keep it contained. They're not merely pleased, not merely pleased. They're not really relieved that they've got to the place where they're going. Oh, we're here, we're here. Put the kettle on, let's have a cup of tea. So, not that sort of thing. They're not just pleased that they've solved a puzzle or mystery. There's something much deeper at work. It's about faith, isn't it? Faith. And faith isn't about solely about the workings of human wisdom, although it impacts on human wisdom. It's not solely about human desires and human motivations, although it expresses itself through those things. Faith is something else, a gift from God. That's the most precious gift of all, which God gives us. Faith changes us and shapes us, moves us on, challenges us, disturbs us, leads us, sends us, all those things. Faith goes beyond all that we are and takes us to a new place. Faith brings us into God's purposes. And we come then to the gifts that all the children know. Mr. Hurst, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Children know those things. It's lovely that they do. The gold we get, don't we? And we like to get some gold. It's a kingly thing, isn't it? A monarchy thing, a sovereign thing. It underpins everything. The gold the country has underpins the currency that we use every day. And so it is with the gift of gold. The bottom line with Jesus is he is God's son. That underpins everything. The sovereignty of God underpins who Jesus is, always will. The other gifts, the frankincense and the myrrh, are a prefiguring of who Jesus will be, who this child will grow up to be. The frankincense, the prayers ascending to heaven, that link, that living link in Christ between heaven and earth, the way Jesus brings the divine to us and the human to the divine, that constant interaction that is going on, represented by the incense rising. And the myrrh, troubling and disturbing gift about a death. What do you anoint bodies with? At the beginning, there's the end, isn't there? The end, a disturbing end, prefiguring end. The former manager of Arsenal, and as a Chelsea fan, I hardly like to speak that word, Arsene Wenger, said in another context to do with football, Christmas is important, but Easter is vital. Christmas is important, but Easter is vital. Don't think he'd think of himself as a New Testament scholar, but I'm going to co-opt his help. There's a great importance to Christmas, but we look at it through Easter eyes. We gaze at the child in the house, the baby in the stable with Easter eyes. Christmas is important, but Easter is vital. Who is this child before the wise men, before Mary and Joseph? The incarnate Son of God, who will live and die and live as he will die as an atoning sacrifice, giving himself for others and for us. It's there right at the start. It's not just there in potential, but it's there in complete reality. I do not think for one moment that the wise men, the magi, are worshipping potential. They're worshipping something that is actual and real and already begun. God in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. This season, for me, has been characterized by reflections on humility. The humility of Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, the magi who fall down despite their status in the dust of the floor and worship. The humility of God himself coming to us in that birth. we have to get smaller. And that's not just a reflection on too many mince pies or too much Christmas cake. We have to get smaller as people, as egos, as selves. Small enough to fit through that stable door. Small enough, despite our earthly status and standing and whatever we think we may have, small enough to fall down in worship. And in worship, to recognize the humility of God, but also the humanity of God, the vulnerability of God. When you see a mum with a new baby, a mum and dad with a new baby, there's always that moment when the mum would say, "Would you like to hold her?" And the child is offered, and the child snuggles up usually, or they start wailing in my case. So that's probably why people don't do it so much with me. What was that moment? Would you like to hold my baby? It's a precious moment, isn't it? It's a wonderful moment. And really, that's what this season is saying to us. God says to us, "Would you like to hold my baby? Would you like to hold Jesus? I entrust him to you. I entrust him to the world, to the changes and chances of the world. I entrust him to the brokenness of the world in full knowledge and full understanding of what will occur, because it's already there. It's already actual. Would you like to hold my baby?" A moment of humility and a moment of humanity, the two things together. Who can be scared of a baby? I leave that thought with you. Who can be scared of a baby? No one really. Except those who are big, embiggened with power. Those made large with a sense of their own importance, those who invested their wealth, their time, their energy in the wrong things, and they know it. Herod stands for all those who are like that. Herod comes as a warning to us, a terrible warning. The wise men come as something else, another way, a way of humility, a way of humanity. It is for us always to walk that path, to make that journey. And we begin that journey afresh this year, this new year. Amen.